God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today about contentment. God is our helper, and if we really believe that with all our hearts, in every situation, every day, that He's on our side, that He's not against us, that He is able to save, able to keep, able to deliver, able to do, as the Bible says, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Or another translation says, infinitely more than we ever dare to ask or imagine. I get convicted by those words every time I read them, because my prayers are so feeble, my faith is so tenuous, and I'm thinking, I'm asking a great deal of God. I wonder if He'll do maybe half of this or maybe a quarter of this. I wonder if He'll do the whole job. I wonder if He'll see it through. And then I remember that the promise is that He can do infinitely more than I can ever dare to ask or imagine, and I can dare to ask and imagine quite a bit. But God's help, and we need to get this straight, is not necessarily to change the situation. I suppose most of the time when we pray for God's help, we want Him to get us out of something, or to change somebody else, or to fix a situation. And God may not change either me or the other person or the situation. God may have an unimagined way of helping. Remember the words, infinitely more than we ever dare to ask or imagine. And Andrew Murray from South Africa wrote these four rules for himself, which I found very helpful when I've been in what I would think of as tight places. Number one, God brought me here. It is by His will that I am in this straight place. In that fact, I will rest. Number two, He will keep me here in His love and give me grace to behave as His child. Number three, He will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons He intends for me to learn, and working in me the grace He means to bestow. Number four, in His good time, He can bring me out again. How and when, He knows. And then Andrew Murray summarizes these four rules briefly. So if you want to take them down, I think you could manage to copy these as I read them. Murray says, let me say that I am here, number one, by God's appointment. Number two, in His keeping. Number three, under His training. And number four, for His time. By God's appointment, in His keeping, under His training, and for His time. We get awfully huffy sometimes with God when little things go wrong, don't we? I remember Ann Kimmel saying publicly, and so I'm not giving away any secrets, she said she burst into tears one time when she was told that there were no first-class seats. When Jan and I came into the studio this morning, we found that there was no air conditioning. We are really suffering, aren't we? What if your choice of meal on the plane is no longer available because you happen to be seated toward the back and everybody else wanted what you wanted? Do you get huffy with God? Do you just get mad at the world in general if you think, well, maybe God doesn't have anything to do with this, but you just get peeved, put out? I think of the words of the Orthodox morning prayer, in unforeseen events, let me not forget that all are sent by you. Would God send such a picky little thing as no first-class seats, no air conditioning, no choice of a meal? You really want to know what I think? I think he does. I know he does send such things to me because God is working on shaping in me the image of Christ. Now, how am I going to learn acceptance, humility, contentment, if my acceptance, my humility, and my contentment depend on the way I think things are supposed to be going? It's a total contradiction in terms, isn't it? So if we really prayed, let me not forget that all are sent by you, then contentment, a positive acceptance of conditions that we can't change, would be the reward. We need to renew our affirmation of trust in the one who could have changed it and had a good reason for not changing it. If we refuse to accept, to humble ourselves, to be content with what God sends, what's the alternative? Rage, bitterness, railing against God, general discontent, malaise, misery. Which way do you want to live? I want to read a passage from Pilgrim's Progress, that beautiful old book that so accurately describes exactly the journey that you and I have to make through this world. Although it was written hundreds of years ago, I find it deeply relevant today. When Christian reached the House Beautiful on his pilgrimage, he is talking to the two sisters who live there, and Prudence says to him, "Can you remember by what means you find your annoyances at times as if they were vanquished?" Christian says, "Yes, when I think what I saw at the cross, that will do it. And when I look upon my broidered coat, that will do it. And when I look into the roll that I carry in my bosom," the roll was the scriptures, "that will do it. And when my thoughts wax warm about whither I am going, that will do it." And Prudence says, "And what is it makes you so desirous to go to Mount Zion?" Christian, "Why, there I hope to see him alive that did hang dead on the cross. And there I hope to be rid of all those things that to this day are in me an annoyance to me. There, they say, there is no death. And there I shall dwell with such company as I like best. For to tell you the truth, I love him, because I was by him eased of my burden. And I'm weary of my inward sickness. I would fain be where I shall die no more, and with the company that shall continually cry, holy, holy, holy." And I can't help but be reminded of a very strange phone call that I had last night. You know, I prepare these talks sometime in advance, but it's amazing how often things which are relevant to the things I want to say happen in the meantime between the preparation and the actual broadcast. I had a call from a man who had been jogging one evening. He is a missionary from overseas, but he was here in the States. He was jogging with his brother-in-law. And the brother-in-law was struck by a car or a truck, I'm not sure which, and killed. This man who called me is in the hospital with multiple injuries, broken bones, internal injuries, and brain injury. He spoke very slowly, but very clearly and very thoughtfully. And I couldn't begin to tell you all he said. It was about a half-hour phone call. But he told me of an experience which he called a near-death experience. He said, "I talked to Jesus. I don't know whether I talked to him for 5 seconds or 5 minutes or maybe 5 hours. But he said, it was as if Jesus was taking me around heaven, and I saw people that I knew, but they were all in the spirit, and I realized that I was in the flesh. And so I said to Jesus, why am I in the flesh? And he said, because you have to go back. And he said, I begged him, I pleaded with him, I implored him, I prayed, please don't make me go back. Please let me stay here. And Jesus said, this is my decision. And so Dan said to me, here I am in a hospital bed. I just wanted to tell you, Elizabeth, that the things you're saying are true. Everything you say, based on the scripture, is absolutely true. I wanted to encourage you. I wanted to hear your voice, and I want you to pray for me. Think about that word, contentment. When those little things go wrong, think about a man in a position like that. Imagine God giving him that kind of a dream, or whatever you want to call it. I won't get into what it actually was. Maybe it was something like the Apostle Paul, who wasn't sure whether he was in the body or out of it when he had that strange experience in 2 Corinthians 12. But he said that he had to be content because this was the Father's will. And he said, when Jesus said, this is my decision, he said, I remembered that I had given myself completely to God years ago, and so I accepted it. I believe, my dear listeners, I really believe with all my heart that this is the secret of contentment.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.